Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Today I want to carry on Siman Tov Samach Siv Hei Vav. I want to also learn Siv Zayin. And I want to start with Siman Tov Samach Aleph as well. Beza Hashem Yisboach Shemoy. Okay, Siv Hei, gentlemen, is a continuation to what we learned yesterday. Yesterday we learned about the thickness of the matzahs. And we learned that really, in principle, they could be thick. The minhag of the Ramah is that it should be rekikin takin, it should be thin matzahs, very thin matzahs, and that's the minhag already for many years, many centuries indeed. The matzahs tend to be very thin. More on this right now. Sifei ein oisin ba pesach pas over tefach. Shulchan Aruch says the matzahs may not be a tefach thick. Now, note that Ramah was the one who spoke yesterday. Ramah is the one who holds that it need to be extremely thin. That's the opinion of the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch, his opinion was not evident yesterday. It's only today that the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us his opinion. And Ramah said, Rikikin, the Shulchan Aruch holds, they must not be more than a tefach. So here we've got a machloekas. The Ramah says they need to be extremely thin. The Shulchan Aruch is much more lenient, and he says it's got to be less than a tefach. Now, the reason for that is in Tzivkot Yudzayin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. Upas avo tefach. Why is it not good if it's more than a tefach? She avo kol kach. If it's more than a tefach, yesh lochush, we've got to be concerned. Shema yishlo etuchem o'esh. Perhaps the intense heat of the esh, of the fire besoicha, we may not reach it. The intense heat may not penetrate into the dough so much, and the depth of the dough will prevent it from actually being baked. Hence, the Shulchan Aruch holds got to be less than a tefach. Aval bepachs mit tefach, mutif says in a tefach, it's okay according to the Shulchan Aruch. The shaila is as follows: what happens according to Ashkenazi Yidden, us Ramah Yidden, what do we do if we find a matzah, be it a hand matzah or be it a machine matzah, which is thicker than a rekikin dakin? We know our matzahs are very, very thin. And let's say it would happen, I encountered once a box of matzahs which was thicker than usual. It can happen. But imagine it's quite thick. I'm not a tefach, because we learned that tefach going to everybody's a problem. I'm talking about, give it a finger, perhaps two finger widths, and what you are Ashkenazi Shayid, and what you encounter is a matzah which is thicker than the regular rikikin dakin. What is the halacha? Are you allowed to eat such a matzah? Yes or no? Which, of course, looks baked. We're not talking about a matzah which doesn't look baked. So you're saying that it's okay?
If you're a Sephardi, it's okay.
But if you're not?
Then it's not. It seems one should not do so.
But you haven't?
Okay, because it's less than a tefach.
Less than a tefach, but you haven't for Ashkenazi, it's okay. Now, the Ramah says, the Mishnah Berurah says precisely what you were saying, that that you shouldn't be ein leser betefach bedieved, that if it's less than a tefach, you don't need to forbid it, even you don't have to, it's fine bedieved. However, they say over from Reb Shlomo Zalman is being quoted widely, that he held that whilst the halacha really doesn't really forbid it, but the minhag is such a solid minhag to have rikikin dakin, this is such an accepted minhag and such a strong minhag, and we've learned previously, there's various levels of minhagim. Sometimes a minhag is just a... sometimes it's more serious. This is a minhag which seems to be accepted, according to B'Shalom HaZalman, accepted so much that we are going to be forbidding to eat matzahs which are thicker than rekik and dakin. So if you've got a matzah which is thicker than what the Ramah calls rekikin, so something which is thicker than that thin matzah, according to the Ramah, you shouldn't use it. You really shouldn't use it. You shouldn't use it. As to whether one can say it's also, you're right, Brad, you're right, you can't say something is also if it's okay for a Sfadi, but one should really refrain from having it. I don't remember what I did with that box of matzahs which I had, but according to what I saw this now, Hebisham Islam was quite stringent about it. One should really refrain from eating them. See, hey, Vav, Eile Hokel, continuing with regards to the matzah, Eile Hokel b'mashich miu akedmoinim, one should not be lenient, says the Shulchan Aruch in the bottom line, with what the early authorities have been stringent. Shilalasois panadis oi flandoinish. I heard that somebody wrote a sefer in Eretz Yisrael. I heard recently. Somebody wrote in Eretz Yisrael a sefer for all the recipes. All the recipes which are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara. And this would be a good example for something which is... what is exactly a panadish and what is a flandish? It's probably an old recipe which we don't exactly... All I know is what Mishnah Berurah says, and it's quite useful. Mishnah Berurah in the bottom line, Tzif Katan Yud, Ches, says as follows. It's a matzah which is filled with meat, or a matzah which is filled with cheese. Ever tried that? Ever tried it? Can you picture it? Can you picture a nice chicken-filled matzah? Big. I think it might be good. Or the cheese version, perhaps. The cheese version, perhaps. So that's called a panadish or a falondish. One is not allowed to eat that on Pesach. If you've got leftovers after Pesach, by all means, you can make a panadish. But on Pesach, you should not bake. You should not bake something which is going to be a matzah, which has got within it wrapped up, which is wrapped up and it's got inside it basa, meat, or gvina cheese. Why is that? Mishnah Berurah says, when you're baking this matzah, what is likely to happen, what is inevitably going to happen, is some liquid is going to come out from the meat or from the baked cheese. It's coming out. It's going to delay the baking process. Matzahs are baked very quickly, literally in seconds. And if there's additional liquid which is coming out, that will change the substance, and therefore the baking process will be delayed. That is the reason why panadish and flandish are also because the liquid which comes out will delay the baking process, and that's why the Kadmonim have been stringent about those items. Steve Zain, top of page 118. Elitin beitzim shleimim b'matzah. You may not add beitzim shleimim, complete eggs, b'matzah in the matzah, she'te'ofei mohem, during the baking process. Why? Why can you not bake? Imagine it must taste very nice. You're baking matzahs and you're adding eggs to the dough. It must sound. You're not allowed to do that. The reason is if got new test in Mishnah Berurah. Time for the same reason. Because the liquid substance which comes out will delay the baking process of the matzahs. And therefore it might taste nicer, but it's on the... it's going to delay the baking, and therefore you may not do that.
Is that the same as matzah ashira?
Not quite. Why is it not Matzah Ashira? Matzah Ashira, good question. Why is it not Matzah Ashira? I don't remember. Good question. Mishnebuin Tzif Kogen Chof, Shetaofei Mohem, Vafilo Bedieved Yeshlesoy, even Bedieved it becomes also, if you bake a matzah with egg, that will be also even Bedieved, because we assume that Imenu have been baked properly and thoroughly, he will therefore be also. The Mishnebuin then asked the question, what about seeds? You want to add a bit of taste, a bit of spice, a bit of seeds into the dough. Mishnah Berurah also says, "Im nosa lesoicha zeroinim." If you put seeds into the dough, it's going to be also. He says, if you put a very minute amount, then lechatchila don't, but b'diavad it's going to be okay. But certainly don't do that lechatchila. May not add any seeds or any additional ingredients into the dough. Right, okay, this is with regards to Siman Tov Samach. I want to go to Siman Tov Samach Aleph. Siman Tov Samach Aleph, the title of the Siman is Dine Afiyas HaMatzah, and what he's really referring to, it's referring to the halachas of the oven. It's very important, and what the discussion here is, we know the matzah ovens that we use are specially designed. Specially designed for the matzah baking. Could you in theory make matzahs in your home oven? Why not? Take a dough, make it very thin, as we just discussed, make sure not to add any ingredients, roll it, make it really, really thin, make holes, and preheat your oven. What's the maximum heat of a conventional oven? Once you close it, how much does it reach? You don't bake. None of you bake. No baking. You don't bake. You don't touch the oven. I don't believe it.
I think it's about 240. Is that right?
Don't look at me. I've never touched it. My wife doesn't let. So 240, so let's put it on 240, and so what's wrong with that? So why don't you can bake matzahs in there? Why can't you not bake matzahs in a contemporary oven? And of course we are very fortunate nowadays, we can get matzahs from any shop down the road. But this wasn't always the case. Imagine people living out of town, people living in more challenging environments, and you can't get the matzah. You want to bake your kosher Pesach good matzah in your oven. Why do you have to make a bespoke matzah oven? I mean, do you really need to or not? So to what the answer we're going to see in a minute is the yesod over here, and it's really important. The yesod over here is that we've got to ensure that our ovens reach incredibly hot, incredible level of heat. And we're going to see that normal ovens struggle to keep up that level of heat. We basically bake in ovens which are close to the temperature of fire. And I'm sure you've experienced yourself the matzah bakeries, again, whether it's machine or whether it is hand matzahs, you're basically baking it in fire. Our ovens don't reach that. So, but we're going to define now what exactly that means. Yes.
The pyrolytic ovens, the new pyrolytic, they can reach about 400 degrees. So could that be used maybe? Put it on pyrolytic setting?
Okay, so let's see what the Shulchan Aruch teaches us. I don't exactly know the ovens you're referring to, but let's see what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us about the heat of the oven. Sif Aleph, Tanush Oifen Boi Chometz. So the first thing is, really what we've got to remember is that we are very lucky nowadays, and we use for matzah baking ovens, which are not used for anything else throughout the entire year. The hand baked, the hand matzahs, ovens, of course, also, they are not being used for anything else. You can't use it for anything else. And what we are referring now over here is about a tannon oven, which is used for chametz too. So there's an additional challenge over here as well, that if you're using a oven which is being used for chametz as well, besides the fact that you've got to ensure it reaches very high levels of heat for the baking of the matzahs, you also got to ensure that it is kosher lePesach. Therefore, tanur she'ofen bechametz, an oven which is used for baking for baking chametz. You go to an average bakery which is using its oven the whole year round. So you've got to make sure k'shasiku, when you kasher it, when you heat it up, k'delefo is b'matzah, in order to bake matzahs in it. So note, you can do that. What you've got to make sure is that the coals are spread throughout the entire floor, from wall to wall. It's got to be completely covered with coals. It is not sufficient that there is just one big flame in the middle, and on the sides there is no coals, just a flooring. That's not good. You're going to say, well, there's a fire there in the middle. I say, yes, it's true, but the sides, you don't have coals. This is not good enough. We are concerned that we are concerned that perhaps, since it wasn't fully covered, so the surface incomplete is not completely kashered. Remember, we're talking about an oven which is used for chametz. It's not completely kashered, and therefore what's happening is, you think you're doing beautiful matzahs, but unfortunately the blias emerging from the surfaces, the blias are going to go right into the matzahs. So therefore, remember, this is a kosher and not kosher lePesach. This is an oven which has been used for chametz. So you've got the chametz blias, which are entering the matzahs. Therefore, you've got to make sure that it's completely covered with coals, because once there is the coals there, this ensures that kabbalah kachpolta, that everything which entered the walls, or any chametz which entered the walls of the only chametz that entered the walls of this oven are similarly and equally coming out again through the coals, and therefore now this is completely kosher lePesach. Hilkach, therefore, imisiku kama pa'omim kodim haPesach, and it must be just by heating it up a few times. And this is important for our ovens. If you're just heating it up a few times, that's not good enough. The Elohim Kain, unless kivim la'atiru letzarech Pesach, you've got to make sure you're doing this kashering process specifically and purposely and with complete intention, that you are kashering this oven for Pesach. It needs to be a mindset. Perhaps it could be that the coals did not spread from wall to wall. Unless you've got the absolute confidence, the knowledge, the intention that you're doing a kosher lePesach. But without that specific designated state of mind, we are assuming that, I may have used it a few times, but I don't remember exactly, and therefore it's not going to be kosher lePesach. So again, it needs to be done lezeirich Pesach, and you've got to make sure it is covered from wall to wall to ensure that all the beers are out. There is an additional minik to actually change the whole floor altogether, to change the surface altogether. That you don't have to kasher it, you're just replacing the old bottom. Minik yofu, and that is a very nice minik. The replacement is good enough. So what we're learning over here is that it needs really, if we can just rephrase this in the way the post can rephrase it, is that it needs libun. You need to achieve a heat that is the level of fire, and you've got to ensure it's covered from wall to wall and all the sides. In theory, this would work also if you've got an oven, which you want to kasher for Pesach. In theory, it could work as well. There is, however, great discussion amongst the contemporary poskim as to whether our ovens nowadays can be kashered or not, and if a libun is possible at all. In theory, however, what we see in the Shulchan Aruch clearly is that in theory, if you've got an oven which is which there's literally a fire there which covers all the surfaces from wall to wall, which would be comparable and identical to the coals which are covering surface to surface, if you've got that level of fire, in principle you could kasha and you can be melaben any oven. Now there is discussion as to whether self-cleaning ovens actually reach that level or not. Many poskim hold that you can. Some poskim are a bit more hesitant about it. But in the many poskim who allow that is based on the Shulchan Aruch over here, that you can really by reaching an absolute heat of fire and you're ensuring that it's everywhere, you've reached all the walls, that would be fine. The ones who are more machmir, what part of the reason is because of the material nowadays, and part of the reason is because of the Ramah that says that replacement is the best if you can. Minik Yofet is a good minik to replace it. So what does that mean, that it's a nice minik to replace? What does that mean? That we don't rely on an absolute kashering. We don't rely. We have something new. Well, minik Yofet, that's a nice minik. It's a minik. It's nice. It's praised, but it's merely a minik. Continues the Ramah, V'kshemachshir al-di hesek, toy v'yoshu lachse v'lehasek, l'tzorich afir, v'loy lasoiz, hakoil behesek echot. What is what the Ramah says? V'kshemachshir al-di hesek, when you are burning, when you've got a flame in the oven, toiv, it is right, v'yosho, straight, it's good, lachse v'lehasek, l'tzorich afir. Don't use that heat immediately now by baking your matzahs on the spot, or not matzahs, it could be any kosher Pesach food. Rather, let it cool down, reheat it, and then bake a second time for Pesach. So do not use that extreme heat that you've created now in the oven for baking your nice kosher Pesach foods. Rather, let it cool down, and then reheat it again for the kosher Pesach cooking and baking that you're doing. For Loilas says, "Hakol be'esek echad." Don't do everything in one go. Right. What is the reason? Why are you meant to let it cool down before you bake for Pesach? Why can you not just like let that extreme heat? You've kashered it now, you've done a fire, and now you enjoy and you benefit from that heat by baking something immediately. Save yourself the tich of cooling it down and heating up again. Why? So here comes the Mishnah Berurah with a Chiddush, which we wouldn't have guessed. The Mishnah Berurah, two lines from the bottom, says the following reason. He could still be, there was one little place which hasn't been thoroughly kashered, and therefore we want you to do another heat kashering process, which is going to ensure that if there was a square inch on the side, square millimeter on the side, which wasn't kashered, just in case, you can, you know, by heating it again, once again, you've kashered that area. Just in case, kind of. That is the minik. Sounds like a strange reason, because if we're concerned that the libun wasn't right, so surely you can't bake in it. I don't know, it sounds interesting, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. To behesek echod eshlochosh, if you only do one kashering, we are worried. And therefore, we've got to do the second time, when and only the second heat will be the one to heat used for baking. Okay, gentlemen, to summarize what we learned this evening, Baruch Hashem, we covered a lot of halachas tonight. We learned about thick matzahs. According to Shulchan Aruch, anything below a tefach is okay. According to the Rama, rikikin dakin. The Shulchan Aruch taught us we don't do panadish and we don't do paloindish. I think it's pronounced like that. And that is the chicken filled and the cheese filled matzah. Don't do that, because we're concerned maybe the liquid which comes out is going to delay the baking of the matzah process. We don't do that. Similarly, also the eggs may not be baked during the when you bake the matzah, don't add eggs. Similarly, also spices and salt and everything else, don't add that. And then we learned about the heat of the oven. Make sure it's covered. The coals are covering the entire surface. And then we learned that if you can, you should. If it's possible, it's a minute yofet to replace it. And once you're kashering, don't use the heat of the kashering for baking. Rather, let it cool down and bake again once it's a tzorich Pesach. Right. Okay. That's it for this evening. I wish you a very good evening. Good Shabbos, gentlemen. Good Shabbos.